we're in a series called Family Road Trip, diving into some elements of the family to dissect what a win looks like, what's a vision for our family. Last week, we got into it a little bit and just talking about what has God called us to do as a family, especially my family, but also translating it to your family. You need to have a vision for your family. What does that look like? Translating it and putting it down on paper sometimes is the biggest key for you, because sometimes unless you see it visually, it doesn't translate. And so what we try to do is that we try to let our kids know, hey, this is what we expect, but also help them follow through with that. And so today we're going to talk about what does a win look like in our family. If you know anything about our family, we talk about doing hard things. We are not a family who takes it easy. We don't take it easy. I wouldn't consider us soft, but I do consider us just having a heart for God. And so the first thing when it comes to a win in our family is this. We call it obsession. We have an obsession with God. The Bible talks in the book of Matthew to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so when we have those two things working in order, the world is working right. When we don't have it in order or it's reversed, things are out of whack and they don't operate the way they're supposed to. You can't love your friends and then love God. It doesn't work that way. God gives you the ability to love people correctly. Because if you're not careful, you can dole out grace, but there's no truth. But once you align with God, God gives you the ability to stand strong in the midst of whatever's coming into your life and love your neighbor properly without having them leech onto you in codependency. And so God is not interested in you latching on with people who are, number one, not like-minded, and number two, who don't have the same attitude about Christ that he does. It does not mean that God does not place you in the midst of your workplaces to be a light. You are there to be a light. Not everybody works in church. God has placed you there to shine the light of Jesus, but not to become like them. So if you find yourself slipping, you need to get alone with God and find out, Lord, where am I slipping? Get your heart right, get your attitude right, and get back to doing what God's called you to do. We are in a world right now that desperately needs Christians doing what they're supposed to do, obsessing over God. If there's anything that you should be obsessing about right now, it is not your clothes. It is not what you're going to look like. It is about God and his purposes in your life. If nothing else, this last year has taught us that what really matters in life is what God thinks, and that's it. What is his purpose? When you obsess about that, everything else in your life begins to line up and become what it's supposed to be. And the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of who he is. Because once you get a glimpse of who God is, what you're worrying about does not become such a big deal, because you know that God holds it all and that his grace is sufficient and that if he wanted to, he can change it. But if we don't obsess about the right thing, you obsess about the wrong thing, and then we end up having to pull you out of rehab or pull you out of relationships that are not profitable for you because you slipped and you obsessed over someone instead of the one. And if you can't get that right, you're going to miss out on what real life looks like. Community is wonderful. But if I don't have the first leg in place, love God first, everything else around me is unhealthy. I can't elevate people above God. Once I begin to do that, they become idols. And once they become an idol, God said, I'll have no other gods before me. And so God will go to knocking idols down. And if you don't like when God knocks an idol down, then just go ahead and knock it down yourself. Because God will begin to take down things in your life. If you don't think so, go ahead and back and read through the Old Testament and see what he did to the Israelites. As they began to raise up idols, he started just killing them. Well, yeah, that's that God who's just, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne, not ambiguity and inclusivity. That's not the foundation of his throne. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. And so when you understand the foundation of his throne, then you know what God's heart is and how he operates. God is righteous in all that he does. And he imputes righteousness to us upon salvation, but he also gives us the power to live a righteous life. And secondly, He's just. God is justified in everything that he does. So you can't tell God that it's not fair. God knows what fair is. He gave up his son in fairness. So if you want to talk about equal exchange, there is no equal exchange. Because you can't compare God to anyone else, or you can't compare his gift to anyone else. So you can't tell God what to do and expect God to do it just because you think he should do it. God says, I'm right and I'm just in everything that I do. What does that mean when people go to hell? I am right and just in everything that I do. I'm right and just. I am perfect in all my judgments. So if you feel like teaching God something, God will turn it back over to you and begin to dialogue with you about certain things that you have nothing, you know nothing about. I'm trying to say it nicely. So you understand God as being righteous and just in everything that he does. And so when we obsess over God, then you begin to understand that even though I don't understand it, I can trust God. I can trust God. Because what that does is that gives me the foundation to stand on in my life. When the winds and the waves come, I can stand on the foundation of who God is and be okay, even though necessarily I may not be okay the way things are. Because I stand on the truth of who God is, not what my feelings tell me. Because if my feelings tell me something and I believe my feelings, I rob myself of the foundation that I've been gifted to stand on. Because if God is God and God wants to do what he says he's going to do, and we live by faith and not by sight, then I'm going to have to understand and learn that faith has nothing to do with my ability to see. Faith has everything to do with my ability to believe that God is who he says he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So that's what faith is. Faith does not have anything to do with whether or not you understand it or not. I just obsess over God. What do you do? I just obsess over God and who he is. That's the thrill of the chase. So we go hard. We just love God. And when ambiguity starts to work its way in, the Lord allows us to handle that and stop that right there. The one thing that we have and that we try to do, especially in our home, is to, we talk about doing hard things, is to go after it. If you're going to do it, just go ahead and do it. Do it. You know, when you do something half-heartedly, you see the results. A lot of people will do something half-heartedly when they think no one sees. And then when it actually counts, it doesn't translate because they never practiced it well. So you're talking about being on the stage or being about your job and doing what you're supposed to do in a great way. But if you're not doing things in the secret place, if the batter is not practicing and taking batting practice before the game, and he gets up to the game and he gets up to the plate and he has no idea what the pitcher's throwing, he's lost. You got to be in practice. So that means you got to practice the presence of God daily. You got to understand that God is around you and that he's ever present and that he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. So you can access God at a wedding. You can access God in your bathroom, which you do. And you can access God in your bedroom. Wherever you go, that's where God is, because you have access to him because of what the Son has done. He has given you free access now that we come boldly to the throne of grace and receive mercy and grace in the time of need. So God's ear is not shut to you. It's not shut. Heaven is not shut to you. Despite your thought that it is not shut to you. And so you are open and God sees you right now. Now God might be shut to the world. The world might not be able to see God because they don't have a relationship with him. But for you, you're a privilege. You're a son and daughter of the King of Kings and Lord. There's no excuse for you. You should know who your father is. You should know. My sheep know my voice. Now, if you're struggling with fatherhood, then we could talk about that later. Because if you don't know that you've already been adopted into the family, then it's a struggle to know whether or not you're loved, regardless of how you feel like you're loved or not, that I can come before God and know that I'm loved unconditionally and know that he has my back. He's got my back. So I obsess over the fact that I am loved unconditionally and that God has already seen me on my worst day and decided I'm going to love you anyway. And so that brings me into a place of confidence to know that I can come before him and access him at any time. Now, he doesn't give me everything I want all the time, but I get what I need. If God is a good father and he's righteous and he's just, he gives you, Sharon, what you need. Paul begged him 3 times, take this thorn away. He said, I'm not going to do it because my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul said, okay, in response to that, I'm going to glory in my weakness so that the power of Christ can rest upon me. Isn't that the issue? We want power, but we don't want weakness. So if I'm going to be raised up with Christ in power, I'm going to learn to walk in weakness, not frailty. Hear me. Not frailty, not degradation, not walking around undeserving, but understand that in my own strength, I can't perform it, but you strengthen me to be able to handle it. So if God decides that in my weakness that his strength is made perfect, then that's okay because I know that his power is going to flow through me. Correct? So I am graced to do what God has called me to do because of the power that he has graced me to do it with. God is not interested in destroying you. I'm going to tell you right now. He's not interested in destroying you. He's interested in developing you. And if we are building our life upon his love, which is a firm foundation, then we know that we're going to have to trust in him, even though there's sometimes I can't see him, sometimes I can't understand it, and we just have to know that I'm building a foundation, and God builds that foundation upon his love. That's the way it is. If you're trying to build foundation upon the way the world does it, you are missing what real foundation is like. You got a story in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, where the winds and the waves came, but we had one dude who built it on the sand, soft ground. We had another guy who built it on the rock. They got 2 houses. Which one do you think survived? It was on a rock. I want to be on a rock. And so God begins to pull away all those other things in your life that you're standing on, that you're splitting over, that you got no stability with, and you're having trouble balancing. I want to be on the rock. God's saying, I'm trying to get you on the rock, but if I don't take that out and replace it with me, you'll never know the surety of being on the rock. So I send the winds and I send the waves just to slip you out of that to move you over into me. That's how I do it. You want to be on the rock? Come with me. But Lord, what does that mean? My marriage is under attack. I'm slipping you out. And I'm moving you on to me, because once you get on to me, I'll begin to work it all out. And the things that bother you about them and vice versa won't bother you as much, because you realize that your foundation is in me and that I've graced you to be where you are at. I want to be on the rock. Lord, my emotions are just all over the place. I'm letting you slip out of that emotional dysfunction, and I'm bringing you into a place where you're going to have to stand in this thing, baby. I'm not going to let you quit just because it doesn't feel good. I'm going to have you dig deeper in me and find healing. And once you find healing, it doesn't matter what comes in your life, you'll be able to stand up against it and not necessarily want to run. I need you to stand up against it and push up against it. That's what I'm looking for. You know, the difference between boys and men are the fact that men stay and fight. Boys take their ball and they run home. Which one are you? Stay and fight with the grace that I've given you. There's too much at stake for you not to stay and fight. If God is developing and he's building, don't you think that he's going to allow you to push up against some stuff to help develop you? I look better today than I did last year. Thank you, Malia. Because of what I had to push up against to get to where I am now. Because it's what God used to develop me to be able to handle the pressures of now. So when you look over your life, look over the development process and be appreciative of the way you look and the way God has allowed you to push up against some stuff, because it's helped you now be able to carry what he has for you. What used to spook you doesn't spook you anymore. What used to affect you anymore is too light now. It's too light. Oh, see, this is what happens. So you go through cycles in your life of where God begins to bring different things. I'm going to walk in circles. You'll be okay. God's going to, you go through cycles and God's going to bring different things in and out of your life. And once you handle the resistance of that season, you're grown. And then God's going to bring you into another season where you're going to have some more resistance. It's the process of growing and development which goes on your whole life. Do you know that studies have shown that there is a certain amount of stress that is good for you? You need it. Don't talk to me about, I just want to live a life of stress. I want to live a life of mediocrity. Then I'm going to talk to you about slipping into obesity. I'm going to talk to you about slipping into depression. I'm going to talk about slipping into Alzheimer's, all that stuff. Because you have refused to enter into the game of life. There is a certain amount, if anybody tells you all stress is bad, that's not true. You need a certain amount of pressure to get moving. If you don't have it in your life, you stunt your development. One of the best things ever had to me growing up is I was involved in sports constantly. And it helped me, it gave me a competitive edge, and it helped me be around other people that pushed me, myself to get to limits I never thought I could be at. And it gave me an edge that I never thought I could have, but it was the pressure of that that did it. And as I began to grow up, began to see what life was about, it was one of the best things that ever happened to me. So I want you to look back at your life and see the things that you thought maybe weren't the best for you, maybe they actually were. Because you look at things differently now than you did. If you were never pushed and you were never prodded, how do you know what you'd be capable of doing in your life? Listen, automatically, if you automatically are going to go through different stages of your life, adolescence, pre-adolescence, preteen, teen, young adulthood, that process doesn't stop no matter how hard you try to nip and tuck and shave and do whatever you do. If you're 40, you're 40. Okay? That process does not stop. Doesn't. So what makes us think that the process that God takes us through is going to stop? It doesn't stop. I got to the point, my hair is going anyway. So why try to fake it and do a comb over X pattern over my head to try to like block my baldness? I said, you know what? What am I doing? Just shave that thing down. You know why? It's easier for me to walk around and maintain and be okay with it rather than have to like try to fake it. And it's freeing. It's freeing. I feel so good. It's freeing. She loves me. I'm attracted to her bald. She doesn't like the hated it look. Okay? See that later. Living Color reference from years ago. It's freeing. It's freeing when you can just let it go. I'm not just talking about physical stuff. I'm not saying let yourself go physically to where it's like, come on, man. You're letting yourself go into some dangerous waters. I'm talking about things you can't control. You can't control it. People are coming and going. You can't control that. So when you try to control it and try to make them your God or your source, then what you do is that you suffocate yourself and the freedom that God has called you to live in. Just let people go. And what happens is there's a freedom that happens and comes in your life to know that the Lord's going to give and he's going to take away. It's okay. It's going anyway. Okay, so my parents are going to die anyway, eventually, right? Some of yours already have. No matter how hard you pray, God could raise people back up to life instantly and heal them. But guess what? One day, they're gone. So for us to try to manipulate people or manipulate the way we want to see things happen is futile at times. Because when you get what you want, it's not necessarily all that it's cracked up to be. Israel wanted a king so bad, and they got Saul. Ruined their country. And because of that country being ruined, they had a different perspective of who God was, because God said, I am sufficient for you. You don't need anyone else. But they said, we want to be like everybody else. And God said, all right, listen, I'm going to give you somebody. But before I do, I just want to let you know, this is what I'm going to do. Just go. We want them anyway. Because sometimes God will give you what you want just to show you it's not what you want. And once you see it, you're like, yeah, I got you. I got you. Then you can move on. Once you got him, then you can move on, because God will gently but firmly just remind you where your source is. I'm obsessed with him. Haven't you lived long enough to know that he can only be the source? He can only be the source. Two, confession. What does the wind look like? Hey, I'm falling short. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It also talks about repent, turn around, and times of refreshing will come onto your life. Sometimes you got to turn before it turns. We want God, and God wants us, but sometimes we got to turn away from stuff. You know what? I got to confess. That means there's sometimes in our house where if our kids are doing things they're not supposed to do, that they got to confess it. I'm not talking, we don't walk around like helicopter parents. But hey, listen, when the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom on how to deal with them and they confess some things, it's a doorway to their freedom. And so they learn that I don't have to walk in shame or hide. And it fosters honesty and communication so that we can have a free home. We got a pretty free home. Pretty free home, because we try to help our kids understand that we're going to talk plainly with you and help you see what the world is like, and so that you're going to be able to confess and talk about some things. I'm not trying to hear your deepest, darkest secrets, but there are some things that you maybe need to talk about and confess that you saw or that you did that maybe we need to talk about a little bit. Confess, because what it does is it takes them out of hiding and it allows the enemy no access to them when they see. That's what the enemy does. What he does is you allow him access when you stay hidden. You don't think that God saw Adam and Eve? You don't think that the enemy saw what they were doing? So, you don't have to hide. Ellen, put that scripture up for me, if you will. Jeremiah 23:24. Who can hide in secret places that I cannot see them? Declares the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth? Declares the Lord. I was reading that the other day, and I'm like, that's right. Where do you think you're going to go that God can't see it? You pull the covers up over your head, be like, God can't see me. And you know what? God can see you. Trying to hide it. And so when you fake it or try to hide it, all it does is it exacerbates your frustration and your situation. I'm not talking about venting all your feelings, because that's just stupid, the Bible says. Don't vent out all the stuff. But I'm talking about the stuff that you feel like, man, I need to confess this because it has a hold on me right now, and the enemy is wreaking havoc with me. And so try to help our kids to get out of that, and then teaches them that they are loved unconditionally and that we are for them, and so that we can help move them on. It's the same way with God. God will allow you to be exposed so that he can heal you. Because what it does is it perpetuates that you got to hide all the time. And in reality, it's a lie of the enemy where nothing is hidden. If nothing is hidden, why hide? Because it's going to be pulled out. It's not like you're faking everybody. Because even when, let's just say, you're in that practice, there are other Christians who are not hiding, who are out, who can pick out a hider. So you come to church, I can tell, oh man, I feel like you're hiding behind some stuff. Because the Spirit of God bears witness with the fact. Because like-minded people, when they do life together, there's a discernment that's there. And when you walk in the Spirit of God, and the Bible talks about him being a light in your spirit, that you begin to see things that are in darkness. And so people who are walking in darkness, you can pick that out right away. Even though they're a Christian, be like, man, you're hiding behind some stuff. And most of the time, it's hiding behind something that they've thrown up, thinking that God doesn't see. or other people don't see. But when you really walk, that's why you ought to be careful who you get around with, because they'll pick stuff out real quick. So the best place not to be is at church if you're hiding. I'm going to worship the Lord today, but I'm dealing with a secret sin in my life. You walk in, all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost is like, I see it, boy. You walk in, like, you came to the wrong place today. Not here, not this place. You come to a place, the Lord disposes stuff. Because he loves you. So if the hiding thing is for you, don't come. But if you want freedom, come. Because the enemy would like you to stay stuck. That's the one thing that killed people over this last year is isolation. Just killed them, man. Killed them. And some of them still. And I feel bad because I still see people walking around in their cars driving with masks on. And I'm like, man, people, you're stuck. And it's not that there wasn't a reason, and I get it, and everyone had this process, but that process is over for the most part. But once you get stuck in one way of thinking, it's hard to get out of that way of thinking unless you're shaken. And what God is doing, he's shaking. He's pushing. He's waking his church up and say, wake up, shaking people. Don't think that way anymore. You don't have to. One of the best things that ever happened to me was just being able to be me. What happens is that the enemy lies to you and says that you can't. Because you got too much that you're dealing with that you can't. Well, who says that I can't? Who says that I can't be who God has called me to be, even though that I'm being perfected? Because that would be futile to the process of God. That would eliminate a lot of people from being used until they reached a utopian state, which does not exist. Oh, come on now. Well, we want utopia. That's why everybody wants to cancel it. We want utopia. There is no utopia. Until you get to heaven. That's utopia. When you're here, you're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age. This isn't a utopian society, but we want to become this utopian society or feel like we have to get people out of the way and we have to make it this way because we don't like the way it is. Man, you're missing the boat. God died for this. So that we can be rebuilt and renewed and become all that he has called us to be until eventually one day we're going to spend eternity with him in a utopian state. Until that day, this is not utopia. But you've been graced to live here for this time. So if you're messing up, just confess it. It's one of those things where it's like, we do ourselves a disservice. Can I use you as an example? You know I love you. All right, come on. I graduated from Utopia. All right. Today. All right. So the other day we were having a conversation about something. And she said, hey, listen, just out of transparency, I just want to let you know, just as a believer, this is what I'm dealing with right now. And it wasn't bad. She talked about isolation versus community. It wasn't bad at all. But it was something that, hey, held me accountable in this. Because I want to be careful I don't drift down to a place I don't need to be. Confession. All right. Because there's something about being around other believers and other people that help raise up your spirits. It's life. It's a life principle. Being around other people uplift you and strengthen you. That's why we do life. And if we can get over ourselves and get over the fear of rejection and what other people might think, then you'll find your life take off into new places and new love than you ever thought. Because other people, you may not think of it this way, but they're dealing with some of the same stuff you're dealing with. They just don't voice it like you do or wear it like you do. So I'd rather just be myself because being myself helps free them. And all of a sudden you're able to confess it And I'm not saying confess things you don't need to confess. The Holy Spirit gives you wisdom. Don't walk around being an air horn, saying everything you thought last night. I don't want to hear everything you thought about last night. But there are things that you dealt with and that you're dealing with in your life. Go ahead. That's fine. I feel like I need to share this. Cool. Find someone. Whatever you do. Help lift me up. Great. Do it. Don't stay stuck. And all of a sudden now, we don't see you anymore. And it's like 6 months later, and we find out you're doing things on Facebook and Instagram that are totally opposite of your personality. Totally opposite. Why? You took the bait. Three, we practice cessation. Cessation meaning the process of ending something. Cessation. What do I need to stop doing in my life that is not beneficial to me? And replacing it, what do I need to start doing? I'm going to stop saying I can't. I'm going to stop it. I'm going to start saying I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. When it's hot and there's pressure and there's things that are happening and development, I'm going to say I can do all things because he's in it with me. I'm not going to say I can't. Even though I might say I can't, it's an act of surrender. Lord, you come with me. There are many things in my life where I thought that I couldn't, and God said, yes, you can. How do you know what you're capable of if you're always relying on what you can do? What kind of life is that? You're serving God within your limits. We talked about this, but you're serving a limitless God within your limits. So if I only can do what I think I only can do, then I miss out what God can do, which is exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the power that works within us. So if he can do all things, yes. So all things are possible. Yes, they are. I don't feel it, but they still are. So I have to stop doing something. And I have to start confessing something else. So that means next time that thing's come in to try to rob you of your thought process and your faith in God, you got to stop and say, no, I can do it. I'm going to do it. And 9 times out of 10, it's just about you just doing it. You know, I can't do it. Okay, just go ahead and do it. Okay, I just can't do it. Yeah, I'm not talking about sin. Okay, some people, oh, no. I can't do it. Yeah, go ahead and just do it. Why? Because all of a sudden, God meets you. If you don't jump in the deep end, how do you know what you can do? How do you know what kind of strength you have? Sometimes God will throw in you deep end and say, start swimming, so that he begins to develop the muscles that you need. Anytime you go into training, they're developing muscles and breaking down muscles that you need. You need that stuff for what's going to happen in the next season of your life. Don't be fooled into thinking that there is no training period in this life. This whole life is training. Whole life is training. And when God takes you out of one, he's going to bring you in another. What do I need to stop doing? Son, you graduated there. You got the muscles now for the next season. Here we go. You got this one. You got more boldness. You got more confidence. Take it. There are some things that are just too light for me now. I just need to be more challenged. Have you ever think about that? You just need to be more challenged on stuff. You already beat some stuff. You need it for your survival. And I'm going to say it again. There was a time in my life where God said, if you don't fight, you will die. So I've had to learn that process ever since. And it wasn't a process of, like, I never had to fight, but if you don't fight this thing that's coming after you, this one that came to try you, you will die in this thing. I need you to fight. Well, that's not fair. Yes, it is. I'm developing you. Fight. God does not speak to me in other ways that are pleasant sometimes. Okay, God does not speak to me in other ways that feel good all the time. Just get up and fight up against it. I'm being real nice today, just so you know, real nice. I'm going to throw this out there to you. If there are habits in your life right now that you are still leaning into that are not really beneficial to you physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, it needs to cease. It needs to cease. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit marinate that with you. Because what you do is that you end up playing games. And anytime you play games, most of the time the loser is you. So you're walking with God for any length of time, and you're doing what God has called you to do, but you're still doing stuff on the side because, hey, it's not bad, but it's this. But it could be something that God said that was good for then. It's not good for now anymore. Now it's just compromise. Before, what am I saying? Start weaning yourself off stuff that's not helping you. The Bible talks about us newborn babes in Christ to crave the pure milk of the word. I'm looking around this room. Not a lot of newborn babes. You're grown up now. So that means I got to start weaning myself off. That bottle's got to go. I'm not sitting in this diaper anymore. That's got to go. Sorry. Listen, I'm changing. I'm putting on clothes that actually fit me now. Okay, I'm not walking around trying to be someone that I'm not anymore. I'm learning what my identity is now. I'm not trying to change who I am to something else. I'm not trying to prove myself to someone else. I am who I say. God says I am. My identity is found in him. I don't need that to get involved in that small talk or that offense. I don't need that anymore. That's childish anymore. That's childish. There's bigger things now I got to deal with. There are bigger enemies that I have to fight now. So, if God is grooming you and moving you away from certain things, just be thankful that he's doing that. Tricks are for kids. If the body is supposed to become the body and be strengthened and change this world, you can't be tricking yourself out with stuff that's not beneficial to you anymore. Listen, 32-inch rims when you were like 25, that was good. When you're 45, just get a nice car. You can get leather seats, I don't care, with AC. Make sure you can pay for it. Drive the car down and feel good about the blessing of God in your life and what he's done and grow up into maturity. And stop trying to be, no one needs chains hanging down to your crotch or your knees and pants down like this. And you walk in and what's up, man? All praise and honor to the glory of Jesus Christ. Man, hold on, man. Hold on. I don't need it no more. That might be good for someone else. I'm looking in this room. You're grown now. You can yell at me later for that. I don't care. Okay? You get what I'm saying? Boys trying to be men. Men trying to be boys. Women trying to be girls. Everyone's trying to revert back, right? I want blonde, but no, I'm going through a... right now I'm going to go gray. Now gray's the style. We got old women saying, I want to be gray. I'm going to go blonde. So I want to go blonde. But now it's like a style. I'm going to walk around with gray and purple at 25. Looks terrible. And so now you want blonde. I don't want brown anymore. I want black. So I'm going to dye my hair in black. But I want black. But actually, they said it looked good like a brunette. I'm going to try a brunette. I don't like a stash, but I like the beard. So I'm going to try a stash with a beard. Take the beard off. I don't want that anymore. I'm going to take my... What I'm going to do is I'm going to shave my hair one side, leave it off. I'm going to flip my hair up this way, and then I'm gonna walk around because that's what they said I should have. How much does that cost? About $300. That's cool. I'll do that because it's good. It just feels good. Everyone wants to change. It's gotta change. Well, it's Lord help me. My butt is not the way it needs to be. Implants. I want to implant my butt. I want to do everything else. I never had knees before. So I'm just going in. Bad knees. Now, if you need surgery on your knees, praise God. Get surgery on your knees. Don't put implants in because you want to look like somebody else who's got better knees than you. Just handle your knees. Everyone, and then, you know, I want to wear glasses. It's like style. I want to wear glasses. You don't even need them. I know, but it's just stylish. You don't even need to. You look fine the way you are. But I know. Cessation. The process of ending something. So that something new could happen. I am knocking you trying it. Be creative. Do whatever you want to do. But let's do it in the context of knowing who we are in Christ. So when the world looks at us, they're trying to decipher, who is that? There should be a difference between you and a non-believer. If you have gotten to yourself to the point or where you're trying to be all things to all people, but we can't recognize you anymore, you've gone too far. You should stand out. And if no one tells you that, they're lying to you. You should stand out. There should be a difference. I'm not saying you can't enjoy life, but we don't do pleasure over purpose. We do purpose over pleasure. Because now you serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who has another purpose for you. It's not just about you walking around your best friend's ride, all that stuff. It's about you doing life with God, and God will begin to separate you out from things and say, no, I don't want you to do that no more. You're with me. We got to get solid. Remember, I'm your all in all. I'm your all in all. Because once that happens, all that stuff doesn't matter anymore. When you grow up and mature, Marie, you know this, all the childish things that you used to do, they're not attractive anymore. They shouldn't be. Right? I'm not going back to 16. I got no desire. I feel good about where I'm at now and where I'm going. Praise God and where God has called me to do. And as we get better in Him, all those things begin to change. The mindset changes because my obsession is now Him. I don't confess to a priest anymore. I confess to Him because we have a high priest who's able to empathize and sympathize with my weakness because he's been tempted at all points like I have, but he did not sin. So I go to him, one mediator between God and man, Christ. And I stop doing certain things when I feel like it's time to stop that and move here because God is good. And I begin to mature because you're supposed to grow up into all things in Christ, not some things. Let's all stand with you. All things. That means less fear and more faith. Less fear and more faith. I don't care what it looks like, but it's going to be more faith. You're going to come against stuff. And that's going to be the thing that's going to help you hurdle some of those childish ways and things that are besetting you and entangling you. Those things, you're going to have to come against those things, those ways, those emotional handicaps that God wants you to push past and deal with that take you from being a boy to a man, take you from being a girl to a woman, a young woman. Yeah. Those stuff God says I want you to deal with so that when you feel it there and when you feel that knife or when you feel that knife of my spirit because it feels like a knife going in and cutting away, that you just allow it to cut so that I can transform you into the image who I've called you to be in. Transform into my image. That's what I'm looking for, to take you from faith to faith and from glory to glory. I feel like God's just cutting in here. He's like, I'm just cutting. I'm tired of my people walking around deficient in who they are. And so I'm going to cutting. I'm cutting away stuff. I'm cutting away things from their past. I'm cutting away things from their own mindset, their childhood mindset that keeps them limited to who they are in me. You have been adopted as a son or daughter into the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords family. He said, I want you to know that today. And so there are going to be things in your life that we are going to go and I'm going to deal with. I'm going to take my scalpel and I'm going to start to shave off and I'm going to start to cut because I am the potter and you are the clay. And there are things I want to do in your life that only I can do. And so if I have you on the wheel right now, I have you on the wheel for a reason. I'm doing something in your life for a reason. I'm molding you and making you into my image so that you can become a reflection of my son. I'm trying to show myself to the world through you. And if you will allow me to do that, you will be a representation to the world like you have never seen before. But you have to allow me to go in and cut into the deep areas and bring healing to the wounds that are there that have been perpetuated from your past, so that you can be free in your future. I'm not a God who's going to let you stay the same, but I will go to take care of things in your life that don't look like me so that they will become to look like me. And if you allow them to become to look like me, you will find a newfound freedom and joy that you have never experienced before in your life. But you have to do that and allow me to do that, says the Lord. Father, every person in this room, everyone who has prophetically heard that, and Lord, today, who are in that process of being shaven, cut, I thank you that today that you are precise in how you do it. Lord, that you know how to cut, you know where to cut. I think that family of origin issues are going to be resolved quicker in this room. That no longer are people going to be tied to their past and who they once was, but they will be tied into a future that is based upon who you are. Because we know that we have a hope and a future in you. Those things that have wrapped themselves around our feet so that we can't walk, those things that are wrapped themselves around our throats so we can't speak, I come against those things in Jesus' name. Those things that have attached themselves, Lord, I tear them down. Those things that we try to hide in, Lord, I pray that you would help us to come out of hiding and find shelter in you so that we can find healing in you. There is no need to hide, and I pray that people would find security and safety in you only. And as they begin to do that, they will begin to find healing the way only you can bring healing into their life. And they will feel a sense of your pleasure to know, Lord, that we are yours. I thank you today. Those in here today, real quick, show of hands. God's cutting up some stuff. Raise them up. Cut. Yeah. We got some cutters, Lord. Thank you for the grace, Lord, to withstand the cutting. And as we begin to do that, Lord, they'll begin to recognize that your strength is made perfect in their weakness. And guys, you begin to cut some stuff away. I thank you for the beauty that's going to come from ashes, the oil of joy that's going to come from mourning, the garment of praise that is going to outweigh the spirit of heaviness. And that there's going to be a praise that's going to come from their mouth, declaring the goodness of God in the land of this living because of who you are. Thank you that you are a God who doesn't abandon. You are a God who does not lie. That you are making all things new. And we look forward in anticipation to the good things that you're bringing into our life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.